Our sermon text this morning comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, Matthew 24, starting at verse 26. We'll read through to verse 42, and you can find that on page 973 in your pew Bible. Matthew 24, starting at verse 36. When you're ready, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's listen to God's inspired and inerrant word. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Amen. You may be seated. And I ask that you pray with me and for us as we hear the gospel preached. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank and praise you again. Thank you for revealing to us yourself and revealing to us the way of salvation. Thank you for this season to celebrate the incarnation, the coming of your Son in the flesh to redeem us. And then also for this season to anticipate his return, to judge the living and the dead, and to take his holy ones to himself forever in heaven. And so, Lord, please make us ready. Please make us watchful. And be glorified in our thoughts and in our meditations as we consider your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Advent, the word that comes to us from the Latin adventus. Advent means appearance or arrival. The arrival of someone important or worthy of note. And so as we consider the advent of our Lord Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, that indeed is something to celebrate and anticipate. And so this morning I want to talk about the main idea that we must be ready for the advent of Jesus. We must be ready for the advent of Jesus. Now we find ourselves living between two Advents. We live between the first Advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so we can celebrate that Advent looking back at the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, where the eternal Son of God, God the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us, so that he might redeem us and that we would receive the adoption as sons. And so we celebrate that Even we are called children of God. And that's because God sent his own Son in the world to redeem us. And so we thank and praise God and we shout, Hallelujah. I'm a child of God through Jesus. Amen. So we celebrate that, and rightly we should celebrate that. And that's part of what Advent is about. That's half of the picture of Advent. The other half, which I'll confess that I haven't focused on enough, and so I'm going to focus more on that, just to correct it in my heart, and I hope it corrects your hearts as well. Advent anticipates the bodily return of the Lord Jesus Christ to judge the living and the dead and to take the saved to their eternal reward. And so we say in Advent especially, even so, come quickly. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. And so the question this morning is, are you ready for that? Are you ready for Advent? Are you ready to celebrate the birth of our Lord? But then also, are you ready to celebrate or ready to anticipate? Are you anticipating his return? Are you ready? And so to be ready, there's some things we need to know. And there's some warning that we need to take. And then there's something we need to be about. The first thing is we need to know that there's something that we can't know. We need to know that we can't know the day or the hour. That's what God's word says. Nobody knows except the Father. Nobody knows except the Father. That's what the word says. Now, some might wonder, well, do angels know? No, the angels don't know. Verse 36. And does Jesus know? No, Jesus doesn't know. Mark 13:32. We can turn there real quickly and see that even the Lord Jesus doesn't know or didn't know. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So then why do people think that they can know better than even the Lord Jesus and then figure out a day or an hour for the return of Christ? And so it seems that in every generation, someone tries. You know, there's a group called, I think it's Jehovah's Witnesses. They began because someone was trying to set a date for the Lord's return. Also, the Seventh-day Adventists, they're another one who tried to set a date. And there are others as well. And so when people try to set a date for the Lord's return, it doesn't end well. It doesn't end well. And so let's not do that. Okay, let's just say there's something that we don't know. And we need to use that word for what God intended it. We don't know. And so because we don't know, we want to always be ready for whenever that happens. So I think that's the way to use it, not to use it as, well, nobody else figured it out, but I'm going to be the one who figures it out. No, that's called pride, to say that I can do something that God says that I cannot do. That's pride. And so, Lord, deliver us from the evil of pride. Grant that we would be humble and say, God says we don't know, so we don't know. We don't know the day or the hour. But We do know something about this that will happen, and there is something we can know, and that thing we can know is that the Son of Man will come. Amen? It says, of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. The coming of the Son of Man will be. It will be. It's going to happen. And so even though there are some who say that it's not going to happen, for example, in 2 Peter, there are some who say in 2 Peter 2:4, they say, what happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? From before the times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world first was created. And so there are those who look at things the way they are, or at least they seem to be right now, and they say everything's continuing like it always has. Where's this promise coming of Jesus? And Peter says, you know what? That's going to happen. He says, I want to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come, mocking the truth and following their own desires. Why do they scoff? Why do they mock? Because they want to follow their own sinful desires. Because they don't want to think about the return of Jesus, not as a helpless baby, but as a conquering and judging king. They don't want to think about that. It's hard sometimes for us to think about that. But think about it, we must, so that we can take warning and so that we can be ready. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And so we need to know that Jesus is coming again. And that it's not going to be a hidden thing. It's not going to be something that you can hide under a bushel. Or that's going to happen in the corner. How do I know that? Because Jesus said it's not going to be that way. He says, in this same chapter, verse 30 of Matthew 24, what does it say there? It says, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So when Jesus returns, it will be with power, with glory. There'll be a sign in the heavens. And then we also see in verse 29, it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven. Do you think it will be an uneventful thing for stars to fall from heaven? I don't think there's going to be a way to miss that. And the powers of the heavens will be shaken. I think that's referring to the powers of evil being shaken. Praise be to God for that. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn. Not some of the tribes of the earth, all of the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. It's going to be loud. The trumpet will sound. Another scripture says, and the dead will be raised. And they will gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. And so there will be a thorough gathering of all the people who ever lived to the judgment seat of Christ, where he will judge the living and the dead, and he will separate the sheep from the goats. Do you understand that when it happens, it will be impossible to miss? Everyone will know, because everyone will stand before Jesus, before Judge Jesus. And so the question is, are you ready? Are you ready? Receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, and then you will be able to stand before him as judge. Amen. 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 And so let's take warning. Now the lost, that day is going to overtake them like a thief in the night. Because to the lost, it will be business as usual. They will be eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that the Son of Man returns. Just like in the days of Noah, they entered the ark. Noah entered the ark. His family entered the ark. Noah had been preaching escape from the wrath that is to come. The Bible tells us that he was a preacher of righteousness. And he was a preacher of righteousness while he built the ark. I guess you could say he was bivocational. Sometimes God calls his servants to be bivocational. He calls his preachers to be bivocational. Thankfully, I don't have to do that because the laborer is worthy of his hire. But sometimes a pastor will opt to do that, like the apostle Paul did. He was a tent maker as well as a preacher. And Noah preached and built the ark from the time of his 500th birthday to the time of his 600th birthday. So he preached for 100 years. So 100 years, people heard a flood's coming. God's going to wipe all these people out because the intent of their heart is only evil continually. And they lived longer back then. And what a mercy that we don't live as long now. And you can only imagine what kind of evil technology they built up in those years before the flood. And then it was all wiped out because they did not repent. They did not turn and they did not receive God's mercy. They did not enter the ark. And so only Noah, his sons, and Noah's wife, Mrs. Noah, we don't know her name, and then Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives, they entered the ark, and they were saved. So Noah and his wife and his sons' wives entered the ark, and no one else did, and the Lord shut the door. And then the flood swept them away. Now, Jesus says that when he returns, it's going to be like the days of Noah. Or when he returns, it's going to be like the days of Lot. And we see that in Luke chapter 17. And isn't it a lot like the days of Lot, where we have people who think that they can redefine marriage and define it as sometimes a man loving a man or a woman loving a woman, and that they can get married. Whereas God's word says a marriage is to be between a man and a woman. And the two are to become one flesh. That's what God's word says. But I guess that's the minority report these days. But that's the true report from God's Word. And God's Word and God never changes. So it'll be like the days of Noah, the days of Lot. But here we see there's mercy. Even in that day, I guess Noah's children could have rejected Noah's preaching, and they could have been lost as well, but they didn't. They didn't reject the message. They believed, and they entered the ark, and they were saved. We see in Matthew chapter 24, and which verse? Verse 40, that there, we'll call it a 50% survival rate. Some are left and some are taken. It says verse 40, then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Now, we won't take that 50% as an absolute number, but that's descriptive that there will be people working together, working in the field or working at a mill grinding flour. And they may be close associates, but those workers have two vastly different destinies. One will be taken to meet the Lord in the air when he returns, but one will be left. And one will be with the Lord forever in glory, in his kingdom, enjoying joy and blessing that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. And so we look forward to the blessings of heaven and to the blessings of being ever with the Lord. Hallelujah. But for those who reject God's way, reject God's salvation, then there will be eternal fire, separation from the presence of God. That's what God's Word says. And so there will be some who are saved, and then there will be some who are lost. And that's what the second coming of Jesus speaks to. There will be a separation. You can read about the separation in Matthew 25. That'll be like a shepherd who separates the sheep from the goats. The sheep, they go on his right hand. The goats go on the left. And you can read about that in that parable. We don't have time to go into that right now. But just to say that the return of Christ or the coming of Christ, the parousia, is a time of separation. And that's when close associates will find that they have vastly different destinies. And so what is your destiny? You have an eternal soul. Where will that eternal soul dwell? Will it be with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, or will it be with the devil in an eternal hell? I urge you to trust Jesus, to take him as your Lord and your Savior, and choose life rather than death. Amen. And so we must take the only way of escape, the Lord Jesus Christ. We must take the ark that God has provided. And the ark is a type or a figure of Christ and His church. Augustine said in his book, The City of God, God commanded Noah to make an ark in which he and his family, that is his wife, his sons, and his sons' wives, were to be saved from the devastation of the flood together with the animals that went into the ark in accordance with God's directions, in accordance with God's word. How important is it for us to follow God's word and know God's word and study that word every day and meditate on it day and night so that we will be careful to think it, live it, love it, do it. Amen? So they did all in accordance with God's directions. Without doubt, this is a symbol of the city of God on pilgrimage in this world. That is, of the church, which is saved through the wood upon which hung the mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ. Amen. Isn't it interesting that God saved Noah and his family through the wood of the ark. And He saves us through the wood of the cross on which hung our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so how do we get on the ark? Get into God's salvation? We need to commit ourselves to Jesus. Trust in Him alone for your salvation. Believe on Him for the salvation of your soul. Have you trusted in Him? Have you called on Him? Lord Jesus, please have mercy on, please save me, a sinner. Because You are the Savior of sinners. Amen. And then commit yourself to the church. Commit yourself to Jesus' body, the church. Can we tell by your commitment that you are His? Are you committed to Jesus? Are you committed to His church? Have you promised? Have you covenanted before God to support the worship and work of a congregation of Christ's church? Have you? Can we tell from your preparation and attendance upon corporate worship and the ministry of the word that this is a top priority for you? Can we tell? Do you make it a priority to be in God's house on God's day, the Lord's day, each and every Lord's day? Is that a priority for you? Do you make it a priority to be on time to the Lord's house on the Lord's day, like you would for a job? Or better, because we're doing something more important than even our 9-to-5 job. We're coming to be before the living God who created us and gave us life and breath and provides for us our daily bread. Something that your employer cannot and did not do. We don't worship our work. We don't worship the state. We worship the Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator of all things. The sustainer of all things. He sustains all things with a word of His power. And He's our Redeemer. And so we want to honor Him with our attendance and do better than we would for a job. Would you come late to work every single day? Would you? You would be fired after a week of 5 late days, you're out of here. God is merciful. May He grant us repentance. And we can change. That's what repentance means. God is able. God is able. And not only can others tell, can the Lord tell that this is a priority. And He can tell by our actions. And actions start with the heart and the will. Am I willing? Am I willing to be willing to change and to learn a new way? Part of having a day of rest and gladness is preparation. You prepare the day before. Set out your clothes. Don't do the work that you would normally do on Sunday. Do it Saturday, if at all possible. Don't habitually have your ox in a ditch every Lord's Day. See if you can make sure it won't get in the ditch on the Lord's Day, on Saturday, so that you're prepared for the Lord's Day to be a day of worship, a day of rest, a day of thanksgiving. Last time I preached from Psalm 92, and that was the Sabbath day psalm, and it talks about the Sabbath day being a day of thanksgiving and praise. Every Lord's Day should be Thanksgiving Day. But part of that means preparing the day before so that we're ready. Amen? So we want to commit ourselves to the Lord Jesus. We want to commit ourselves to Jesus by the church. We also want to watch and pray. Watch, it says in verse 42. It says, watch therefore, for you do not know at what hour your Lord is coming. It says watch here, but I also add pray, because very often in Scripture when we're commanded to watch, we're commanded to pray as well. Pray without ceasing. I can't pray without ceasing. You can pray without ceasing because the Holy Spirit of God is in you to cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy. And so the Spirit cries within us and enables us to pray when we submit to that word and say, God says to do it without saying, I want to do it. Help me, Holy Spirit. And He will. He will. And He does. Watch and pray. The word translated watch is gregoreo. Where have I heard that word? The name Gregory comes from this word, which means to be watchful, to be a watchman, or to wake up, to be roused from the sleep. Wake up! Watch out! Pay attention! So my name means I'm supposed to do that. So I hope I roused any of you who are sleeping to wake up and watch and pray. And anticipate the Lord's very soon return. We're in the last days. The evangelist John tells us we're in the last hours. And he told us we were in the last hours roughly 2,000 years ago. So we're close. But I'm not going to set a day. And none of us should. Only our loving Heavenly Father knows. And our Father knows best. Amen? And so how do we watch and pray? Luke 21:34. I'll read it to you from the New Living Translation. Some good encouragement about watching and praying. Watch out! Don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing and drunkenness and the worries of this life. Don't let the worries of this life dull your heart. Take away the sharpness of watching and praying and being on the alert. Could He come back today? Yes. Could He come back tomorrow? Maybe. We don't know. Nobody knows the day or the hour, but it's soon. And so let's always be ready. Let's always watch and pray. Don't let the day catch you unaware, like a trap. You know what a trap is? Nobody ever says, hey, that's a nice trap. I'm just going to walk right into that trap. No, a trap is hidden. And so the day of the Lord can be like a trap for those who aren't looking for it, those who aren't ready for it. For that day will come upon everyone living on the earth. It's going to come to everyone. Everyone you know is going to be confronted with the day of the Lord. And that's why we go into all the world with the good news of Jesus Christ and proclaim Him. Because that day is going to come. And they need to know. They need to know Jesus. They need to know that there is a way that they can have life and have it more abundantly, that they can escape death and that they can be with the Lord forever. And so keep alert at all times, or be sleepless. Don't let sleep come to your spiritual eyes. Don't be in a slumber. But be wide awake, because the Lord can come at any moment. And pray that you might be strong enough to escape these coming horrors and stand before the Son of Man. And so we need to pray that the Lord would strengthen our faith, that we would be ready, that our love would not grow cold. And that when the Son of Man returns, that He will find faith on the earth because of His Holy Spirit working in us that faith and that watchfulness and that prayer. And so in that vein, let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we want to thank You that You have revealed to us the way of salvation through Your Son, Jesus, that You didn't leave us on the pathway of sin, death, and destruction, but You did something to save us. You didn't leave us in the way of sorrow and misery that come from sin. You, Lord Jesus, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, entered into our sorrows, entered into our troubles, entered into our pain and suffering. And You did something. You poured out Yourself as an offering for our sin. And by Your punishment, by Your stripes, we are healed and we are saved. And so we thank You, Lord Jesus, for rescuing us. Thank You, our Father, that in the fullness of time, You sent forth Your Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that You might redeem those under the law, and that we might receive the adoption as sons. Thank You, Lord, for Your first coming and the blessing that that brings. But Lord, we thank You also for the blessing that Your second coming brings. Your word says that He will rise. The Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in His wings. And so we look forward to Your return when we will be completely healed and made whole. The lame will walk. The deaf will hear. The blind will see, and we will see You just as You are, face to face, and we will be like You. So we pray, Lord, in the meantime, that we would watch and pray, and that You would strengthen us in our faith, that we would encourage one another, and love one another and seek always to be ready for your return. Thank you, Lord, for this word. We pray that your Holy Spirit would apply it to each of our hearts, each one of our hearts, as is most needed. Thank you, our Father. Thank you, our Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.